Well, good morning again. It's interesting, that last verse of that hymn we sang, "O love of God, O power divine." You know, we were talking at the Lord's Supper this morning about both the love and the power of God. And I'll hail the power of Jesus' name. And just as we were singing that last song, I thought, well, how neat that things fit. I love it when things just fit right in, you know, to the topics of what we've been considering. I don't know whether Lara picked that one out earlier or whether he picked it out subsequent to the meeting this morning to finish with, but it fits right in with what we've been looking at as we remember the Lord this morning. Had some good thoughts around the Lord's Supper this morning. If you don't come to the Lord's Supper, we really invite you to come to remember the Lord and celebrate his love for us, remember him as he instructed us to do. Because it's something that's one of the few ordinances that in baptism, you know, he's asked us specifically to do. And you can't help but enjoy offering up worship, not just separately at home, but collective worship to our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Matthew 28. I was all set last week to speak, and then I found out that I wasn't speaking last week. That was, you know, it's interesting that when you come to something and you get a chance to listen and to be blessed by another brother, you know, that's really good. You know, I enjoyed that very much. This particular topic came to me a few weeks ago, and I think I spoke something like on it in the spring, but the Lord put this on my heart to refresh us again of something which is in three or four of the Gospels, this great commission that we read about here. And it's kind of like a moving up day, too. We're going to get to that a little bit as we get into Luke this morning. But in Matthew, we see a passage here where the Lord had ascended, and he rose from the dead. And now he's getting to the point where he's going to be ascending to his Father and leaving the disciples. So in Matthew 28 and verse 16, it says this. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power," oh, there it is again, "all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Three short verses, but they're very deliberate verses, and they're very important verses, because the disciples, and we'll see again as we look at the book of Acts too, the disciples had been with Jesus since the resurrection. They had been with him 40 days. You know, today, I think last Friday started 40 days of fasting and prayer among many churches in the country, the nation, are fasting and praying for 40 days. Many believers, millions of believers in around the world for the next 40 days, especially in the United States, are fasting and praying at some point in time during the week, daily, for our elections coming up. And I was thinking as I had gone over the message again this week, that I came into Acts chapter 1, and it talked about the Lord having been with the disciples for 40 days after his resurrection. I thought that was an interesting connection there. I don't know whether they planned 40 days because of that or not, but it kind of fit right in there. And I didn't realize, you know, I haven't considered in the past that Jesus was with the disciples for 40 days. And this happened at the end of those 40 days. Can you imagine? I mean, here we talk about, and I remember Bill Carson speaking on the fact that the church, you know, the disciples, within a short period of time, hundreds of thousands of people had been won to the Lord in Jerusalem area and in Judea, and even as others have said in some of the other cities there, as we read in the book of Acts, this group has turned the world upside down. Mm-hmm. How could they do that when they were the ones that deserted Christ at the trial, and they deserted Christ at the cross, and yet, when you figure it, Christ risen from the dead, and we read all the accounts of the two going on the road to Emmaus, and Mary encountering the Lord in the garden, and several of the other accounts, you're familiar with the resurrection story. And yet we'll be reading here about how he actually was with them for 6 weeks, basically about 6 weeks. And this one that they were disheartened about, you know, Peter, who Jesus specifically told Mary, go and tell Peter and the others that I'll see them in Galilee. Why, it's no wonder that after 35, 40 days with Christ, after observing him be crucified, going through the disappointment of wondering where their master was for several nights. What had happened? How could this all have come about? We expected him to be the king. We expected him to be Messiah. And he told us over and over that he was going to come to Jerusalem to give his life up. And yet he really did it, you know, and then the resurrection. And all of a sudden these things coming back, and yeah, we saw him on the road to Emmaus. Yeah, I saw him in the garden, you know, and all of a sudden he appears. And then he's with them for 6 weeks, a little over six weeks, almost 7 weeks. And during, wouldn't you have loved to have been there during that period of time when for six or seven weeks, you could sit at the feet of a risen Lord. You know, we don't see much ministry on that. All we see it was one verse in Acts chapter 1 about the fact that he was with them for 40 days. But if you imagine the electricity that must have been there as they were with him with those 40 days. He was with them for 3 years before that. But for those 40 days, knowing that he had defeated death, and he was in Jerusalem there for about 6 weeks. We don't understand, and I was thinking about that this morning. You'd think that there would have been, the Jews would have really been after him then, right? The Jews would have really been after the disciples then, but they must have been on the low side, quiet side. I don't know. We don't have any witness of that in the Gospels. Just have one verse in the book of Acts that Luke shared with us to let us know. But just take some time this week and think about that. What it would have been like to have been sitting those 6 weeks at the feet of Jesus, knowing now being taught again how the prophecies all came together and pointed to his death, his burial, his resurrection. What a time that must have been. Take some time thinking about that. That one I think deserves quite a bit of thought. Let's look at this one more time here. All power. You know, that's an important thing. All power is given unto me. All right, the Christian faith is not one of weakness. The Christian faith is one of power. You kids in college back there, you get attacked in the philosophy courses. And I know, I've been through philosophy courses at college. And philosophy courses try to break you down and tear down your faith. Adam, you too, going in the army. You know, you got to make learning, like a brother Ray Stifler has often said to young guys going in the service, you got to make the stand, you know, and be consistent in your prayer life and reading in the scriptures. But that's true of all of us. And are you in college and working world particularly too? But the scripture that says here, Jesus says, all power is given to me. You know, the Christian walk is not one of weakness. The Christian walk is one of power. Plug into the power. Plug into the power that's available to the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And as you see opportunities arise, jump at them to witness. You see opportunities to share, jump at it. It's not a matter of, oh, I wonder if I should. You know, it's a matter of if Christ is in us and if the Holy Spirit is in us. If all power is in him, all power is in us too, that we have the authority to boldly speak for him. Given unto me in heaven and in earth, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And some passages have them disciple all nations, some translations. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And there's three things there. Teach, baptize, and observe, or do. Observe in this case doesn't mean watch. You know, a witness observes or hears or sees, you know. But it's also to observe things in this context is to do. Okay? Don't just hear about it. Don't just remember that he said it. Don't just think about it, but do it, he says. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. As we learn, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected, right? So much is given, much is expected. All the things that they've heard are supposed to teach. Are we raising up people, adults, young people? Are we raising them up and discipling them and teaching them by the doing, not just by sitting and reading and sitting and taking notes. I love to sit down during the messages and take notes, but we also have to implement and apply to our daily lives. That's the key here. Teaching them to observe or to do all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Let's look at the account in Mark 16. Mark 16. Moving up there, the disciples were going to be moving into a new phase. The Lord now wasn't going to be with them. You know, he told Philip, what was it, Philip? I think he told him, where I go, you cannot come, you know, at the time. But now he's going to be going into heaven, and he's not going to be with them. He's been with them for 40 days since their disappointment of the cross and the crucifixion. But now he's not going to be with them. And in verse 15 of Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Things were going to happen in the early church. Things were going to happen that were signs that Christ was in fact the Messiah. Christ was in fact the living, resurrected Messiah. And it says here, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, sat down on the right hand of God. And they went forth. They went forth. This little, I think someone once said here, this little motley crew of 12, 11 actually now, and they went forth, and it says they went forth and preached everywhere. One of our memory verses said, how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach unless they be sent? I think that was one of the verses we had this past year, or the year before. And here they were being sent. Okay, they were being sent by Christ himself. So they went forth and they preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Our brother, where was it this morning? We had the word confirming here. I think Tim Reed gave us. Let's keep your finger here and go over to Romans 15. Tim's up in class, but he gave us this verse this morning towards the end of the Lord's Supper. Romans 15 and verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles, that's us, might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. We're looking at that great passage in Psalm 149 and 150 this morning about praising the Lord. Now, and that was the Jews praising the Lord. But we're going to look tonight at Psalm 148. Read through that this afternoon. Read through Psalm 148, and we'll see who all is encouraged to praise the Lord. Okay? And that kind of fits in with the passage we just read in Mark, actually. But and again, in verse 10, and again he says, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that you may abound in hope. That you may abound in hope. Not just survive in hope, not just live in hope, but abound. You know, abounding talks about excess, you know. Talks about, you know, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, as it talks about in the Old Testament about how you take a bushel of grain and you don't just fill it, but they shake it to get it settled in so you get more grain in. And they fill it up and they press it down. You know, and abounding speaks of that. They may abound in hope through the power, and again there's that word power, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Not my power, not Dan's power, not your power, but the power of the Holy Ghost. And we need to appreciate that power in our life as we have opportunities to share with those around us. We had a great time this past week at camp with a rental group. And I was talking, this group has been coming from Lockport for the past probably 8 years. We've been renting out camp, maybe anywhere from 30 to 60 kids. This year they had about 40, 45, 50 kids and some staff, four staff or for 50 kids, 50 teenagers. That's an interesting ratio. But for their staff, I mean. But one teacher, the art teacher that we've been working with for the past 7 or 8 years, like, she says, yeah, she says when people think of Christian schools, they think that all the Christian parents send their kids to Christian schools. But, of course, kids at the public schools can't handle, they go to Christian schools, too, because the Catholic schools won't take them if they're thrown out of public schools. So a lot of the Christian schools get those kids, and we had a few of those kids this week. And it was interesting to have the opportunity, and Mike Blaze and I, it was really neat seeing Mike Blaze down at camp. We were coming down from the ropes course, and it was just a digression here, but we were coming down from the ropes course in the golf cart that the one rental group had presented to Ray Blaze about 2 years before he went home to be with the Lord. I guess a year before he went home to be with the Lord. And we got halfway down the hill, and Mike stopped the cart. He says, don't you think it's ironic that I'm driving this golf cart? It's got in dedication to Ray Blaze on it. I said, I think it's great that you're driving that golf cart. And I said, you can come down here and work the ropes course anytime you want and ride that golf cart all you want. You know, so you look at, I almost called Mike Ray about 4 times this week because he has a lot of Ray's mannerisms. You know. But it's great to see Ray's enthusiasm and his ministry being carried on in his son. And Becky was down there too. Becky Claude was down there as well. But here here we have this passage here in right in here again. We had that word power. We had the fact of the Lord confirming that Jesus Christ is a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the Father. You know, the Lord came to confirm the Scriptures, to fulfill prophecy. And here it says that in back in Mark here where we were, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, verse 20, and confirming the word with signs following. Do you look for his confirmation in your devotions? Do you look for his confirmation in the answers to prayer that you present before the throne as you pray during the week? We typically, when Bethel and I were raising the kids, there was one point in time where I had them keep a notebook of things they prayed for, and a yes column and a no column. And a wait column. You know, there's 3 answers to prayer, right? There's yes, there's no, and there's wait. Probably the wait one is the one that leaves us hanging the longest, you know, sometimes, because we want either the first or the second so we can get on with our life. But sometimes the Lord says, wait, or later, or just hold on there a minute. You know, time's not right now. Other times he gives us things that aren't good for us because it says we just had that passage last week where it says he gave them the desire of their heart, but he brought leanness to their souls because they weren't going to be happy with what he had for them anyway. And okay, you want that? Finally, God sometimes says, okay, you can have that, but it's not what I've got for you. Be careful about praying for those kind of things because sometimes if we look for our heart's desires, they aren't the desires of the Lord for us. Got to be careful for that. Look at the next, let's go into that section in Acts. Each one of these accounts of the ascension are different. Every one of them are a little bit different. Luke sees one thing that Matthew and Mark didn't see. Okay? Or Luke tells us of something that Matthew and Mark didn't see. Let's start with verse 1. It's interesting how Luke starts this out. Form a letter I've written, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had commanded, given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. By many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, about 10 days later. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and all Judea and all Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall also come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. I wonder what kind of discussions went on in heaven before those two guys were sent down to these disciples. Well, already they were talking about the second coming up in heaven. This same one that you've seen go up in heaven is going to come back. You know, all of this, all the things that go on in heaven that we don't know about. You know, must be an interesting place. Glad I'm going there. You know, I'm glad many of you are going there. Young people, are you looking forward to that? You looking for the second day of the Lord coming back to take us up to Himself? That's something I really look forward to. It says to those of you that look for Him, shall He appear the second time unto salvation. And you need to be looking for that and be enthusiastic about that. But here's these two angels coming down. Two men stood by them in white apparel and already again revealing to them that, hey, what are you looking up there for? He's coming back. You know, the same one you've seen go up is going to come back. And the next time he comes back, why, that mountain's going to split. You know, not the next time, but when he comes back, he's going to take us back to himself. And then when he comes back for the great day of the Lord there, for the end of the tribulation period, that Mount of Olives is going to split north and south. And there's going to be a valley going east and west through there. And boy, he's going to really come back in power at that time. But he said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. And these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now that's interesting. Remember in John 7, the previous fall, in fact, it'd be about two weeks from this weekend, when the Feast of Tabernacles was taking place, like about 6 months before Christ was crucified, if I have the right trip up to Jerusalem. Why, back up in Galilee, Jesus' brothers said, well, are you going up the temple also? Because they didn't believe him, you know. And he says, you know, mine hour is not yet come. But later on, he did come up after they had gone up to Jerusalem. And they didn't believe in him either, up until the previous September, prior to the Passover where Christ went up and was crucified. But now we see not only was Mary with him, but his brothers were with him too. I imagine his sisters were there too. We don't read much of Joseph. I think Joseph may have been gone by this time. No, we don't read anything of Joseph. But now his brothers are here. And his brothers are here after the ascension here, at least for these 10 days probably, with Mary, as they're waiting for the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And they had no idea when the Holy Spirit was going to come. But they were told to wait. And they waited. These all continue with one accord. We need to be in one accord as we fellowship together. And if you have anything in your life, in bitterness, disappointment even, something that might have happened 50 years ago, you know, it doesn't matter. If you've been nursing that thing along and holding on to it and holding on to it and holding on to it, you know, there might be a callus over it, but it's still in there. And it needs to be removed. It needs to be confessed. It needs to be handed over to the Lord. It might not be 40, 50 years. It might be only 5 weeks or 2 weeks or a day. It might have been this morning. But we need to be of one accord with one another, as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we need to get things right if they aren't right, if they haven't been right. They were in one accord in prayer, in supplication. You know, we pray today for Betty Ferguson, who's had some real problems. You know, her, she doesn't even want to be opened up again for a bypass like we did, like Bill happened to Bill here recently. You know, Betsy told me that she already said she's not going to go through that again. So her arteries are basically all plugged up, and so I need to hold Bill and Betty in prayer, and also the whole family as well. A supplication. Pray for one another here. It's a good thing to get into. You young people especially, to be praying for one another. Pray for us that are older in leadership. Pray for the others that host your young people's groups in the evening. For Jonathan and Amy that work with you, and Jeff or Jennifer and Jason. Uphold one another in prayer. Supplication. Very important part of the Christian walk. It's interesting, these are some of the first things we read about as we read about the disciples after the ascension. Praying to the Lord, but also in one accord, but also in supplication for one another, with the women, with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. As a result of that, Peter stood up in the coming days, and they talked about replacing Judas. You know, and you can get into that study on your own. That's a different study, but even Jesus' brothers had kind of a moving up day. You know, we have a moving up day today. Even his brothers from the 6 months before, 9 months previous, had a moving up day to the point where they believed in him, and they were following. They were now in the group with the disciples, and they were with mom in that particular area. Let's go over to Luke 24. And this goes again a little bit differently than the other two accounts, but the other three accounts. In verse, this is where Jesus was in the upper room, I think probably the second time, and he ate before them in verse 43. In verse 44, he says, "Here's the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said to them, "Thus it's written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name." Well, that's a task we have, of preaching repentance and of remission of sins. And we can preach that, we can witness that to people, whatever age group, because Christ is raised from the dead. Okay? We need to preach that. We need to tell people about their sinful state. The fact that for the remission of sin should be preached in his name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You're all witnesses of these things. "And I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And then again the ascension, he led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them, and while it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. What attention that must have gotten in the temple. Wonder how the Jews handled that. That must have been difficult for them, as I've said earlier in the message today. 1 Timothy 4. Let's not just look at Christ's charge, but also let's look at Paul's charge. Paul discipled Timothy. 1 Timothy 4. And verse 1. "I charge thee." No, wait a minute. Let's see here. Is that 1 Timothy 4? That's not right. Maybe it's 2 Timothy 4. Hang on a second, please. I pulled this up on my computer and I ran it off. 2 Timothy 4. Name's right, book's wrong. 2 Timothy 4, "I charge thee therefore before God," verse 1, "and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing." This is his second letter now to Timothy. "Judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season. I think that instant means ready or diligent. Okay? Be ready. Always give an answer, it says in the scriptures. Be ready to always give an answer. Of the hope that's within you. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Boy, if that's not true in the United States today, I don't know what is. But after their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Watch thou in all things. You know, a lot of things come to our attention in the paper, in the media. A lot of things going on today, and even still now in the House of Representatives, they're still bringing up the marriage amendment in our nation. But so much of this political correctness in our society today, we have to be very careful of that, not get wrapped up in it. I had a great time with the kids at the ropes course this past week, and we have a bridge, so kind of a slatted wood bridge, and they have to go from one end to the other, and we call that the broad way and the narrow way. We use the Bible story at each task. You know, Jesus says, I am the way. You know, religions are out there today that says they're the way, or you can get to heaven anyway. It just doesn't matter what you believe, you just get there anyway, you know. And political correctness says, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Our afflictions here, folks, when you see people being beheaded just for political reasons, our afflictions here are nothing compared to the afflictions of brothers and sisters in Nigeria and Indonesia and in Chad and in Malaysia. Endure afflictions. Our brothers and sisters around the world are enduring much worse than what we endure here in the United States. Do the work of an evangelist, he tells Timothy. Maybe your gift isn't evangelism, but you are a witness. You can tell what Christ has done for you. Some of the discipling books suggest that we have people we're discipling to write out their testimony. How did you get saved? What's the Lord been doing for you recently? And then share that with somebody once a week. Share that testimony. Go over your testimony and practice it so you can share it with people. Be ready. What has the Lord done for you? Make full proof of your ministry. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you've got a gift. You've got a ministry that God called you to. He told Timothy, make full proof of your ministry. Full proof of your ministry. Whether it's teaching, preaching, sharing financially, praying, you know, whether it be a skill, a labor skill, you can help people. I had a friend of ours that asked if he could leave camp because he had to put a thermostat in somebody's water tank off camp. And he asked permission while he was working at camp if he could do that. He's handy with his hands. And another person had a need, you know, and he found out about it. So he left for a few hours and went over and took care of that. But we have different ministries. Because Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered in the time of my departure as a hand. In verse 4, let's see, there was one passage here, verse 5. Anyway, I guess I have the wrong reference here in this one verse. But it says, watch thou in all things. Endure. Yeah, we just read that. Okay. Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Well, I was thinking of the three words there. Watch, endure, and do. Watch, endure, and do. Three things which he had challenged Timothy. Watch, to endure, and to do. We need to remember those three things this week as we go out and look for opportunities to witness. Now, we've had Jonathan and Amanda have been bringing kids from up and down the street here for the past 3-4 weeks. We saw Bibles given out this morning. You know, great to see new faces in the chapel. You know, let's look for kids that we can invite to Sunday school. Are your kids making relationships with kids in the neighborhood? Are they bringing them to Sunday school? I immediately thought, when I was preparing that, I immediately thought of the old camp contest we had, where we had, I don't know whether you remember, we had a space shuttle running from, on a wire from the a balcony up to the front here. This goes back a few years for those of you that just came recently. Those of you that just came in the last 15 years. Anyway, but we had a camp contest, and one of them was one of the things we moved the shuttle along as we got more and more people coming to Sunday school. You know, and I saw these children the last three or four weeks, so I thought of that as I was preparing the message here of that particular contest, because it's good to see new boys and girls coming out to Sunday school. Maybe your kids can develop relationships. Maybe you yourself can develop relationships witness, and maybe perhaps we can have more people not only joining our fellowship here, but coming to know the Lord as your personal Savior. That's the key, right? So let's take this week for an opportunity to move up a step, perhaps, in our walk and in our witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Take a young one under your shoulder to disciple, whether it be from the college group here or from the high school group, middle school group. Pray for Jason. That's a tough group of boys, you know. You should be here when you try to ask guys to take that Sunday school class. That's an interesting group of boys to take, you know, that age group. It's not just the boy, not just the individual children, but just that age group. You know, pray for Jason. It's not an easy class. And the other teachers, too. That's a point of supplication that can really help our ministry here at Blaisdell. Let's pray.